Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we remind you that such is the nature of life that all it wants and all it asks is the opportunity to appear. You're the opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So welcome, everyone. We're glad you're here. We have folks here in the room and folks out there sitting in your living rooms or wherever you might be watching this. I hope you're comfortable. I hope you're enjoying yourself. We've got our coffee going in here. And knowing with me that wherever you are, whoever you are not only welcome, but you're honored. You're honored for the individual life that you have, the individual expression of life that you are. Whether you consider yourself he, him, her, they, or anything else, whatever your self-expression is, we honor it because it can be nothing else but life itself, God itself, flowing through you as you. So, of course, we honor it and respect it and appreciate it. And so you're welcome here. You're always welcome here. And we're very glad that you are. So as we move forward into who we are and talking a little more about this, one of the things that we do is we do teach a set of principles. We are not a dogma, but we are a teaching, and a teaching based on new thought, based on the idea that there is one power, not two, and based on the idea that that power as life is moving through each of us. So to know more about what we teach and believe, listen now to our Declaration of Principle. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. From the Declaration of Principles that Ernest Holmes, the founder of this movement, wrote, just in the moments prior to going on air for a radio interview. I know some of you remember radio. And the idea was, they asked him, we're going to ask you, what do you guys teach? What do you guys believe? And he thought, uh-oh. So he grabbed a piece of paper, jotted down the ideas, and they have remained all these years now as the Declaration of Principle. Word has it that it has stayed pretty much as he wrote it on that scrap of paper before he went to be interviewed. So we share a part of it on Sunday morning. There's a lot more to it. It's got several more points. And you can find those on our website and in lots of other places, but definitely on our website at cslmidtown.org. Take a look there and see what you would like to know and what you would like to know more about. Some of the people on that video are practitioners. And practitioners are folks who have studied this teaching, who know how to use the principles that we teach. Because we teach principles that are for your own improvement, my improvement, all of us growing greater and greater experience of life. And a practitioner is someone who is licensed, has been trained and is licensed to use this for themselves, but also to be able to do this for other people, to help guide other people in their growth. So if you've run into something that's just not quite working, or something you've been wishing you could change, but everything you've been doing hasn't quite worked, then contacting a practitioner is a great way to get you over the hump and get you the next. Because sometimes another person can see truth for you when you can't see it in yourself, when you can't see it because you're too bogged down in the story, perhaps, or lots of other reasons. So consider that for your own personal life and your personal growth. You can find our practitioners listed on the website. You find a contact there to be in touch with them. Or you can just put in a request through the website for what you want more of or a greater experience of. And we'll do that and then get back to you. at or let you know if you give us contact information. But even if you don't, if you just put a request, we'll still do that work for you. So now we're going to hear from a practitioner who's going to talk to us a little bit about prayer and treatment, and also will share a spiritual mind treatment with us, which is our primary practice of prayer. And she's coming to us live and in person from Florida, where she lives in St. Petersburg and has an amazing ministry down there. So without any more talk, let's just welcome Norma Roberts. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Reverend Bob, and good morning to all. It's simply wonderful to be here. Today, before we go into treatment, though, I would like to share with you an inspirational message from 365 Days of Rich Living that prepares a mind for prayer that works. Listen, I am secure in God. Nothing can withstand truth, and I am knowing the truth of my being today. I realize that evil is neither person, place, nor thing. I believe that God is the only reality in my life. There is nothing to prevent my good from appearing in my life right now, but I am open to the ways of the Spirit. I face my problems with an inspired mind and the faith that good alone can triumph, for good is God in action. Within me is an intelligence greater than anything the material world can devise. I turn to this inner Christ center and know that greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Nothing can stop the onward action of truth in my soul. I am undaunted by negatives, but I know that my God is with me and his mind is leading me. I stand in the midst of a flexible universe that responds to my thoughts and acts upon it. I alone am the creator of good in my world. I handle my thoughts rightly in order to bring this good forth into my experience. I am free of all problems, all fear, and all possibilities of failure. I know with certainty that good God is for me. My world must respond to my thought, for that is the law of mine. I now declare the peace, love, and beauty of God as my true environment, and these now bless me. God surrounds me, enfolds me, and upholds me at every moment. I speak the truth, and the truth is all that I can experience. This message is just a message of faith, and the faith that gets the job done. You must believe in whatever you desire. You must know that it is possible. The impossible can be possible if you believe. And now, as we prepare for our morning treatment, I invite you to take a deep breath, relax, and feel at one with the presence of God with you. As I speak in the first person, take as much as you desire for yourself and just let it be. There is but one life. That life is the life of God, and that life is my life right here and right now. This I know, and I know that I know. There is one. Although we say we and the I are one. In a consciousness of divine oneness, I speak my word for the resolving of any particular problem that concerns me now. I know there is no need too small or too great for infinite intelligence to meet. So I turn my attention to that inner source and receive its guiding action. I accept that God is all and all is God. Therefore, this too is good. I speak to the rambling thoughts of my mind and I say, peace be still. And know that I am. I right now declare I am an overcomer. In every season, I will say absolutely nothing is impossible. For I believe in God and I know that God answers prayer. There is no obstacle too difficult to overcome, no goal too high to reach. God has equipped me with everything I need to accomplish what I could never do on my own. With great gratitude, my trust in him because his grace is sufficient for me. Nothing can separate me from the divine presence within me. With complete faith in God's power, I know that all I am and do is the divine within me expressing itself through me. For I know that as I change my thinking, I change my life. In my mind, I hear confident words that strengthen my faith. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, whom shall I fear? If God is with me, his loving arms surround me, and I am safe. I am loved. I am healed. It is with great thanksgiving, regardless of the perceived healing need or the heart's desire, I know that I am safe. I know that I am loved. I am healed. I now release this word to the law that responds by corresponding. Knowing if God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, whom shall I fear? If God is with me, his loving arm supports me, and I am safe, I am loved, and I am healed. As together we say, and so it is.
What if a prayer is not a plea? A desperate call with tears that fall on bended knee, but breathing out. My trusted friend. My life is a prayer that God is praying. My thoughts are words that God is saying. My laughter is the sound of angels. What if to My life is a prayer that God is praying. My thoughts are words that God is saying. My laughter is the sound of angels playing. My life is a prayer.
Take a moment and just let that soak in. That is the most profound version of anything I've seen or heard anywhere on what prayer, as we understand it to be in this teaching and in oneness, really is. I don't know if it's that country music sound that takes me back to childhood or just the power of their faith as they sing it, but that song really, really moves me. And I hope it has you. If you don't remember anything else from this Sunday or from these talks, remember them. Remember that song. And when you forget where you are and what's going on, and life may get interrupted with all kinds of distractions, remember whatever you're living and however you're living it, it is a prayer that God is praying. Now, we're going to unpack that a little bit and talk a little bit about it because it's such an important concept, and it is at the core of what I believe this teaching we teach, the Science of Mind, New Thought, is really all about. You know, we emerged and evolved as a healing teaching ministry and a healing teaching program. The early people in the 1800s, late 1700s, were doing amazing work in healing people and doing it through consciousness, not through any other kinds of means. And I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, there's Quimby, the one I can't think of that's in Virginia Beach. And there's Ernest Holmes, and there are folks in Australia and New Zealand and Chicago and all over the country doing this at the same time. And when people started asking, tell us what you're doing so you can teach us, so we can learn to do what you're doing. That's how the teaching evolved. It didn't start with a teaching and then now let's go do something with it. It started with a grassroots from within expression of the infinite showing up in relationship with people for people, and then that finding form and shape in words and in ideas and in language that somehow could be related. And in a lot of it sounds very much like Christian language at times because that's how it started. And it was using those ideas because that was what was familiar. But it's trying to put a whole different meaning and spin into that. So I want to start off by doing a little bit of the early ideas around what prayer really means. And, you know, when we say prayer, I'm always hesitant to use that word because I much prefer spiritual mind treatment, which sounds very clinical and a lot of folks don't like it. But the reason I like it is it describes exactly what we're doing. We're not asking for anything from somewhere out there, like God sitting on a big cloud up there that's going to hand out prizes or punishments based on how you're behaving. But or how you're praying, or whether you're the right person to be doing the prayer, or whether you need to get somebody else to do it who prays better than you, or any of that nonsense. But it's that idea that prayer is the prayer of God moving through us. Instead of prayer, we call it spiritual mind treatment, because what we do when we're actively aligning with and doing the language of prayer, speaking the words, whether it's out loud or in our hearts, is that we are creating a space in consciousness where our mind is being treated to the greater idea, being treated to the influx and the power of the infinite moving through us. One of my favorite quotes is from Emerson that said, you know, we need to get our bloated nothingness out of the way to allow the divine circuits to flow, because they're already built into us. And so much of our work around spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer is to find those things which are standing in the way and let them go. Ernest Holmes says in the Science of Mind textbook that the difference in looking at the differences in what we call prayer and what we call spiritual mind treatment, that to be a spiritual mind treatment, you have to start with three basic things. And prayers might be that. And prayers from all other religions or wherever might be that, if they have these qualities, if they have the recognition of the divine or the spirit as being omniscient, meaning all-knowing, the omnis, which are built on the idea of om. You know the sound om, which is the sound of the universe, the vibration that is the vibration of all of the universe that we live in. Now, I mean the physical as well as the energetic, emotional. And that om that we make, all of our vowel sounds, all of our are created out of some version of om. And all of our consonants are the interruptions of the sound. Think about that. Your consonants are interruptions of that sound. So the omniscience means the allness, the completeness of knowledge, the all-knowingness. If your treatment or prayer or spoken word includes a recognition of the omniscience, of the omnipotence, the omnipotency of power, the power of this infinite. And here's the real kicker, the real difference. You got to have the third part. Those two by themselves don't get it. The third one is the omnipresence. And that's what that beautiful song is so carrying through for us. It is the very presence of that infinite within us. You don't have to do anything to make it be there. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to sign on to a dogma or join in any kind of organization or church or whatever. It's already there, built in within each of us. And so if your word is spoken with the recognition, let's say talk about recognition. What's recognition? Recognition is noticing, realizing, being and knowing it. It isn't enough to say the words. I can teach you a spiritual mind treatment right now. In fact, we'll get to that later, that you can use. But if it's just words, it's just words. You might as well be, you know, singing your favorite song, because it's not going to do much good. Probably your song will do more good. But if the words carry with them the recognition that power, that infinite power that is ultimate and infinite, is present in you in this moment, in your thoughts, in your ideas, and it carries with it all of the knowledge needed to manifest and bring forward the thing you're asking for or the thing you're affirming. Wow. What a walk. The challenge is staying there, right? Because we get there, and then we go out of there, and then we get there, and then we get distracted by a world that tells us there's two powers, a world that tells us there's terrible things happening around us, because there are. And then how do you put that together with all of that? But that's another talk. Well, here's the place today we're going, and that is knowing that this amazing infinite power always answers prayer. Because if it is oneness, if it is omni, anything, then if it does it in one place, it's got to do it in every other place. Or it's not an omni. It's not a completeness. It's not a wholeness. So it answers prayer. If it ever answered prayer, it always answers prayer. You know, one of the challenges I hear from people a lot early on in there when they come into this teaching is, well, that all stuff all works great for somebody else, but it just doesn't seem to quite work for me, because it ain't working. Well, you know what? It does work for you. The problem is it works according to your belief. And the goodness of it is that it works for your belief. See, because in each of us, there is this moment where you realize that the prayer is not about I, me, my, what I want, not always, although that's part of it. But it has to start with, and there's another quote coming up, it starts with the idea that, to use a biblical scripture, the Father or the divine or the infinite within me is within each of us. So it's not me, it's the power within me. It is when we are speaking our truth, it's not me speaking by myself. It's me speaking the truth that is already flowing through me as the truth. And that's true for you too. Whatever, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whether you're ordering your brunch or whether you're just speaking some profound thing for your grandson, if he's listening, or for whoever else might be around. It's just that moment of like, here we go. See, and in all of this, there has to be that consciousness of oneness, that it's not only one power, it's a universal power. And then here's the kicker, that nothing in my thought denies it. Ouch. How often is it easy to we find ourselves saying things like, God's not here. It's just too much evil going on for that to be here. I don't know about you. There was a time back in the 90s when I was first starting out in this ministry, when there were all kinds of things about, let's bring God back to America. Let's bring God back to this group or that group, as if it went somewhere. If it had, it would simply mean that those things would cease to exist at all. They wouldn't be. Not that they just wouldn't be, they'd be around making noise and troubling people. They just wouldn't be. So it's not possible for this infinite to be anywhere else but right in you at this moment. So there's a place in us. There it is, which lies open to the infinite, always. But when the Spirit brings its gift of the infinite being speaking and living through us, pouring itself through us, it can give us only what we can take. And that taking is mental. We take it by believing it. We take it by accepting the idea. Even if we don't quite fully believe it, we accept the idea of it. We accept the idea of greater good. We accept the idea that we are free to live and do those things which bring us joy. And there's no judgment from anywhere, especially not God, if we're following our dreams. And they match us. And they match who and what we are. See, I think that's just so profound and so important. You know, and some of that is about praying in God's name. We talk about that, praying in Jesus' name, we're praying in Buddha's name, we're praying in anybody else's name. In the name simply means in the consciousness of. It doesn't mean you're naming that person and they are doing the prayer for you. It means I am going to step into that consciousness of the infinite, that consciousness of Jesus. Oh, wow. Jesus, who talked about this idea that God is within me and does everything that's happening in my life is God coming through me. It isn't me doing it. That's a pretty powerful place to live. I step into that every chance I get. Every time my mind says, oh yeah, let's go there. Let's go there instead of in the name of fear or in the name of doubt or in the name of this political movement or that political movement or in the name of this group or that group or my ethnicity or somebody else's or feel all that stuff. How about stepping above and beyond that in the name of the infinite love that God is, or in the name of whoever you're that spiritual teacher being that draws you forward and gives you the best ideas, that lifts your consciousness to a different place. Yeah. See, God's not far away. It's right here. It's all over the place in the New Testament. The kingdom is at hand. Now, kingdom's kind of an old idea, but that was, you know, sovereignty is at hand. How about that instead? It's not just to certain people. It's to everyone. We don't have to talk this power into something we want it to do. We don't have to convince anybody but ourselves. So here's my quote. You'll see it up here from Rev Rad. We must raise, or expand our consciousness of thought and feeling to match the reality we are calling for in our prayer treatments. In other words, we're not asking the infinite to somehow come down into to our form and change things. We are instead bringing our own consciousness up to be in that place of wholeness and healing we're talking about. We're using spiritual mind treatment to align with that greater truth, that greater goodness, that greater power that's always present, but that we filter out. You know, perception is not really a matter of how much we can get in to see. It's really about how much we filter out. You've probably seen those videos and things where you watch it one time and say, did you see the gorilla? What gorilla? There were just a bunch of people playing basketball. Then they slow it down or speed it up or talk about the gorilla enough that when you kind of relax, you suddenly see this gorilla walking through the basketball game. You didn't there because you don't expect to see a gorilla walking around in the basketball game. So we filter those things out. You know, the visual universe and the universe of light that we see and experience is about less than 10% of what's out there. I mean, think about that. Right now, what's around us in this space, the creative power and energy of it, is only really available to see and to experience about less than 10%. The rest is all productive potential energy and light waiting to be recognized and brought into focus and brought into reality. And we do it by lifting our consciousness, by raising or expanding, whichever language you like. It's kind of hard to think about raising on a round planet that's flying through space in circles. But, you know, raising in that reference to where we are, perhaps, or expanding out to embrace the greater possibilities of what we are. And the only argument you ever need to do, the only begging you ever need to do, is for yourself, to yourself. Talking yourself back into these truths. I don't know about you, but it's easy sometimes for me to forget them. Somebody makes me mad. I forget who I am. We won't talk about drivers. But you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, Louis Hay was one of the people that first woke me up to a whole new idea about driving. What if you got in your car? Before you did, you just surrounded it by love. And in fact, you named it to be a love vehicle. And you just imagined it as taking you through and allowing you to interact with all kinds of people in a loving way. Believe me, when you think to do that, when you lift your consciousness to that level of thought before you get in your car, it'll be a different experience. You'll drive more defensively, be more safe. You'll not be as concerned if somebody else gets in the lane before you or gets, you know, 2 minutes gain running down the straight or the expressway or makes it through the traffic light and you don't. That's one of mine. Can't get through the traffic light because you people didn't move out of my way. Well, you see the problem in that, right? The you people. I've already separated myself from this infinite oneness because I made you people you, not me. My people. Our people. That's the power of it. So we have to raise our consciousness and our ideas of ourselves and the world we live in to that place of wholeness and oneness and goodness that we've been talking about so far this morning. There are steps to treatment that we teach. And we're not getting into whether it's 5 or 7 or 3 or 29. The steps don't matter. It's the thought and the way you're using them to raise your consciousness to that place of oneness, to that place of possibility, to that place of truth, to that place of reality. So we always start a treatment with recognizing what is. God is. That's, like I said, we're going to teach you a short treatment where you can do it right now. You go with your thoughts about what is this infinite power? And if you catch yourself recognizing or thinking that, you know, God's out there somewhere, or God is the universe, that's one of the new ways. You know, there are a lot of these thoughts and ideas now that are all over the place out there in our world of business and our world of advertising and world of everything else, where we see and come back to us. But I hear the universe used a lot like it's out there, like it's not where I'm living right now. Not where there's not possibly this entire universe within me that is a reflection of that universe out there. So when I say I'm releasing this into the universe, well, it ain't out there. It's in here. I'm releasing this into me. So whatever those ideas, spend some time with that. That's the most important step of the whole treatment process, is what do you think and believe about God? Is it present right now? Is it omniscient, all-knowing? Is it all-powerful? Is it all-present? There's so much science now about how the universe we live in and how it works between the brain scientists and the physicists that are showing us that in every tiniest little space of space within us and around us, there is such a creative power happening. Did you know you're a light generator? That's not just a metaphorical idea. You are a light generator. When the light from the sun comes down, it comes in as rays. It does not come in as particles. It is not light that you can see. It only becomes light that you can see when it hits another thing. But when it hits that thing, it doesn't just bounce off of it. That thing is activated to create its own light, and that's what you see, is the ray that comes off of another thing or being that they created. The moon isn't just a reflection of the sun. The moon creates its own light as a result of the sun hitting it. You create your own light physically, physiologically, as a result of the sun hitting you. That divine power is right here with us all the time. You know, and it is more and more being proven by the physicists and by others who are looking deeply into these things. So the God is the question. What do you think it is? What do you think? I call it an it because I can't call it a he or a she. It is a he. It is a she. It is a they. It is an everything. But it really isn't it. It's just, it's a power. It's not a personality. It's a power. And then what's your connection or relationship with it? That's the second step. I am. God is. I am. I am somehow part of it. Yeah, but I'm that part that it doesn't pay any attention to and that screws everything up, right? No, you're just God's opportunity to try out, do things and make messes. My teacher, some of you know, Kennedy Schultz used to say, we spend the first half of our life making messes so we can spend this last half of our life fixing them all. And I think he was right. I've certainly experienced that. I made a lot of messes. Not that I don't still do that, but I'm getting better at making those messes into something pretty wonderful instead. But what I am the divine within the divine. I am God's, I am the prayer that God is praying. I am the universal continuation of this power for good that is called God. That's a powerful idea. And it doesn't separate me in any way from anything or anyone else. I'm a part of this cosmology and environment and habitat that is Earth. And that I am on and part of. Yesterday was Earth Day, and I was really tuned into that. And here's the next part, is I know. So what do you want to know? That's the part where you declare. Not, I really want God to do this for me because I can't know. It's the, I know, therefore, that my body is healthy and constantly being restored to greater and greater health and greater truth. I know this to be true. And I'm standing in that truth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get to that point in a prayer process or a treatment process, that's where the other part comes in. So, yeah, right, Bob. If your body's so great, how come you've got all that sticking out in front of you? If your body's so great, why this, why that, why the other? All those negative ideas start popping up. So then I declare those may be negative ideas of separation and division and away from godness, but those ideas have no power in my life whatsoever. I acknowledge them. There they are. And I send them back to the nothing they're trying to come from. Because the truth is, I cannot and will not create based on those negative ideas. Instead, I return to the truth of who I am and the perfection that I have, whether it's prosperity, whether it's relationships, whether it's physical health, or whether it's bringing forth the gifts that I want to give and the work I want to do and making that come forward with ease and grace and greatness. Now, when you get that, and your mind and your heart goes, yeah, what's the natural response? Gratitude. How could I not be grateful to live in a system, to be part of a system, to be an intimate, creative part of a system that works this way? Holy moly. That breathes me and beats my heart and carries my ideas out into the world into new and creative ways. Wow, that kind of gratitude is just huge and all over the place for me. It's part of how I react to that song. I'm a prayer. That just blows away all those negative ideas about who I am. Yeah, but no, you're just this little boy that crawled out of the swamp back in Florida 190 years ago and blah, 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 blah. I'm a prayer that God is praying. So grateful for that. And then you release the whole thing. And so it is. I don't need to dwell on this. I don't need to think a lot about it. I don't need to spend a lot of time on it. Now that I've created that reality in myself, it is now set free within me to change my experience, to change my activities, to change my life direction. And then I just have to pay attention to what to do next. Yeah. Because you see, that's really what we're teaching. And that's what all these laws and other things that we teach, we've been doing this whole month about various practices. But that's our core practice. That's the one that just brings it all home for me. So listen to this. Listen to it again. Read that section of the Science of Mind textbook, page somewhere around page 150, that is called Prayer. It's short. It doesn't take you long to read it. Read it. Think about it. Decide how those words fit and matter. Spend time with this idea. Play, if nothing else, with that first step of God is. What in the world does that mean? Infinite intelligence. I hated the God word when I first came in here because I thought it was like bad guy pointing his finger at me, but it wasn't. It's an infinite intelligence. It is in the very fiber and being of everything. Find that meaning for you. Use whatever language works for you. And then take it from there. Because you know what? You're wonderful. So am I. So it is. Thank you. Thank you. So here comes God in another form, going to come show us and talk to us and lead us in a little information about our prosperity. Thank you, Vance.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. I'm glad you're all here, and prayer works. Yes. So you can donate online at cslmidtown.org/donate. There's a link. There's a QR code is going to show up in a second. There's a link on the YouTube channel that works. You just click on it, click the QR code. It will take you right to that site. You can donate once. You can donate on a regular, ongoing basis, however that works for you. And for those of you in the room, there's a basket in the back. So we have lots of ways to do that. So if you will, say our affirmation of prosperity with me.
I live in a universe of abundance.
As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. So we have another opportunity for giving. That was financial giving. There's time and talent, which we can use more of. We can use people to help with all the technology here, and helping every week with what we do with the service and on a monthly basis. So Bob's going to talk about some changes coming up with that and our annual meeting, which we're going to have the first Sunday in May. So that's all coming up too. So back to Bob.
Thank you, Vance. Yes, please. If you're out there, don't get up now. Go get your cup of coffee. Watch to the end of this, please. We have some very important announcements. The first one of which is that we are moving to once a month in person here at the Recreation Center in Garden Hills. We're going to start that in May, and we'll continue it through the summer. Then we'll see where we are and how we're doing. So that, this is because we are showing up here every week, and we have been since last July. Can you believe it? And during that time, we have had some really loyal, wonderful people who are here every time. And they are a very small group, and they are valued. And yet, it's a lot of work and a lot of money to do this every week. So if you want us to do this more, you can help by contributing your time, your talents, and showing up in person. So we're going to give you a chance to do that by doing some special events on the first Sunday of each month. And we're doing them here at the Rec Center. This in May, we're going to be doing our annual meeting. This is a very important meeting where we elect the board, where you get to hear about the financial situation of the center and the plans for the future where that's concerned. And then also we'll be together, and hey, you can't have an annual meeting without a potluck. So we're going to have food, bring food, join us, make it a feast. Some of you, I know, drive from a long way to be here, and I really appreciate that and hope you can do that particular Sunday. In June, there'll be another food event, of course, followed by a workshop or a kind of rap session is a very old term, and forgive me, but that's the one that comes to mind, where we're going to talk about some current event issues that are on people's minds and how to walk through some of them from the perspective of this teaching, from the perspective of wholeness, rather than the perspective of divisiveness and separation. So you got that. We'll gather on the first Sunday. And all the other Sundays, by the way, we will still be right here broadcasting online, not right here in this building, but right here on the internet. So don't fail to tune in with us. And we're going to be looking at developing some other events that will be online so that you can join us there and keep our energy and our focus going. We are a community. We are a community of people who have faith in the one and the oneness. And be in the community, we're coming together. We're going to be looking at community. In July, or in the end of June, we're going to have a workshop on the beloved community by the author of a book by that title, Jim Lockhart. So there's a lot of things. There are a lot of good things coming up. Pay attention. Notice. Go to the website. If you love working on websites, YouTube. If you love Facebook or TikTok or whatever, and you want to help us out with doing those things to get the word out even further and bigger and louder and noisier and sillier, perhaps, join us. We're more serious, either way. So thank you for being with us. Let's join now in our closing affirmation and go from there. So I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I'm grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. And I forgot to say, on the first Sunday of May, we are celebrating my 5th anniversary with you. Now, it's about a month late, but that's okay. I'm here celebrating 5 years and so grateful to be here doing that. So join us next 2 weeks from now. Thank you.